chapel thing? Well, you can tell. You've gotten better. You're doing good. That was, yeah, you'll all be depressed next week when I do it, so anyway. Yeah. No, you're getting better at it. That's good. That's really well done. Yeah. All right, 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to look at one of these shotgun instructions here that Paul gives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. Oh, yeah. We can zoom in. We can zoom in our choir director. Yeah. Well, it'd be better than what you have anyway, so that'd be good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. You got this list of instructions here. And verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. So hold on to what's good. And that's the idea this evening. Hold on to what's good. And it's needed. We need to be reminded of that, because we're very good at abandoning what's good and quickly forgetting the good things in life that God's provided. And there's reasons for that. So that stuff happens in life, I used this phrase the other day that I've been thinking about it a lot, but the world and the flesh and the devil are incredibly good at poisoning the water and making a good thing just seem horrible. And because that gets done, you know, the tendency is to despise something good that God made good. And so that said, I'm just going to give you a few things, and there's more. I'll give you like 4 or 5 of these things. But that's the idea. It's truly the history of humanity that, you know, God creates all things good, and when this adversarial spirit appears and seduces mankind away from what's good and perverts what's good, and this is what really brings the wrath of God, because all his good gifts have been corrupted and perverted into wicked things. And I know if you're a parent, if you're somebody that's responsible for other people, you have watched, and people have watched you probably, but you have watched, and you know that feeling of watching a child walk away from something that's good because of, you know, maybe they thought they had good reason for it, but you know they're leaving something good. And ultimately, if you abandon everything that is good, the only thing you'll be surrounded with is garbage. And so hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which is good. And fast, it's like a fastener. It's you know, put the thing together. And so let's pray. And I'm going to give you a couple of these things and how they get poisoned or how they get corrupted in our minds. And people end up abandoning these good things. But let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. These instructions are really, really everyday instructions and deal with direction in life that people take because of good things that have been corrupted. And I pray that you would help us make applications. I thank you that Ben's home, and thank you as just spend some time with us, and pray you get him safely up to Louisiana when he goes up there. And thank you for the good singing, and we pray that you'd help us this evening. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so a few good things, and I just made a list of a few things here that really get poisoned or get corrupted, and it turns people off to the good that God created. And so it just, like I said, there's probably more, and there are more, but here's a few things that you ought to keep in mind about when Paul says, hold fast that which is good. Understand, the tendency is, and the way the world and the flesh and the devil all work together, to make, at least in our minds, something good into something that's no good anymore. The thing doesn't appear good, it doesn't seem good, and this is the corruption process. You take something good and turn it into something evil. First thing I thought about, since we've been going through Ecclesiastes, I thought about companionship. Companionship is good. Whether it's family, whether it's friendship, or fellowship, companionship is a good thing. Solomon said, two are better than one, and that's true. It's just generally true. Companionship is a good thing. But when there's in a friendship, when there's betrayal, people lose their desire for a good thing like friendship. And that, if that happens enough, there's callousness that grows over that. And just sin has a way of really destroying our desire for good things like that. Friendship, companionship. I'll give you another one along those lines. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on any of these particular things. But marriage is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. Lust outside of marriage turns a good thing into a source of disappointment and anger. The problem with all of this is when things, I don't know, and it's not to say, I don't want to say it so that with the friend thing, you know, the betrayal or something, you have to go back and restore the friendship. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying in a general sense, people get tired of being close to people when they've been betrayed a bunch. And so friendship that's a good thing, companionship that's a good thing, turns into a bad thing, at least in the mind of the person, and before you know it, you're isolated. Before you know it, you've lost something good in your life. And the devil can do that, or the world can do that, or your flesh can do that enough so that you're no longer surrounded or around anything good anymore. So like friendship, companionship, marriage is a good thing. I watch this with younger generation. And the culture, I think, in young people has seen enough bad marriage that they don't understand what the point of marriage is anymore. And so something that's good has now turned into something that's bad or evil, where you get asked the question, why would I even want to be married? I mean, all I see is you know, fighting, divorce, mom, dad fight all the time, and I got to go live with them over here, and then I got to go live with them over here, and this thing that was good has now become something wicked, or it looks like it's wicked, but it's not wicked. It's just what it's been turned into. And so when Paul says this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hold fast to that which is good. Be careful about these good things becoming poisoned, and particularly maybe for you, maybe for other people in your life. Like I said, I think culture has seen enough of bad marriage. People think marriage is a worthless sort of endeavor and that kind of thing. Another thing that's good, companionship. There's a couple of examples of companionship. Gathering in a church is good. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. God's plan for his people to fellowship and learn the Bible in a congregation, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But when it gets poisoned with men's carnality and arrogance, and this good thing becomes a hated thing. There have been times in my life and probably times in your life where you were dreading going to church. And if you've never experienced that, good for you. Good for you. That's great. But what happens is the waters get poisoned and something that was good gets turned into something wicked. And so now you're averse to it. You don't want anything to do with it. You hate it. And this good thing becomes a hated thing now. Or it's desires maybe when it comes to fellowship. Desires that creep in that draw you away from a good gathering. Desires for kids, desires for a job, and things like that. These things draw you away from something good, and that good thing that God creates is turned into something that is either perverse or something that is maybe just not as good as the other thing that I want now. And so, but the point is you're going to abandon this good thing. You lose this good thing. And it's not always, some of this stuff, some of the things you just can't do anything about, and it's horrible to even think that. But other people can ruin this, like Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, a sinner can destroy much wisdom. Companionship's good. Gathering in church is good. The truth is good. Truth is a good thing. It's a good thing. But Paul would warn in Colossians about beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So that's something that drew you away from the truth. Solomon would say, cease, my son, from the instruction that causes thee to err. What would happen? You learned some lie. And it appealed to something in you, and it drew you away from something good, which was the truth. When Jesus talked about in the parables about the Word of God, and it falls among thorns, for instance, and he says they hear the word, and it begins to do something, but the word is quickly choked out by the cares of this world. And riches and pleasures of this life, then it doesn't bring forth any fruit. And so the desire, the concern for the things in this world suffocate the work of the Word of God in your life or in somebody's life. What's the point is the truth is good, but there were these adversaries, there were these enemies. There were these things that were opposing the truth, and they took root over the good seed. Maybe the truth is good, but maybe the truth has too much cost to it sometimes, and there's regret over incorporating it into your life. And you want to abandon it. You're just like. And if you say that doesn't sound spiritual, it doesn't. But Jeremiah came to that point. Elijah came to that point where he had so lived his life. Elijah, for instance, so lived his life where, you know, he's got the Mount Carmel, all that kind of stuff. And the nation doesn't change. Nothing changes in the nation. The people still hate God. There's nothing changing, and even worse than that, not worse, but along those lines, the people in leadership want to kill Elijah. And so Elijah goes under the juniper tree and just like, you know what? I regret what the truth has done with my life. Just in my life. Lord, just take me. I want to abandon this good thing. Just get me out of here. Jeremiah said it. Job said it one time. He said he wished he had never been born because of the good things in his life that were destroyed. I wish I'd never seen this. I wish I didn't have children. I wish I wasn't married. I wish none of this happened. And he came to that point. The point is, all these good things that God has made, the world, the flesh, the devil are incredibly adept and efficient at destroying, or at least destroying in our minds, these good things. And Paul says, look, you prove all things and you hold fast that which is good. Don't abandon the good things. Don't abandon the good things. You know, a sound mind is a good thing. Sound mind is a good thing. But I guess I understand a little bit of it, but we abandon a sound mind to entertain fear, to entertain worry about stuff that we can't do anything about, and you just lose yourself being entertained by fear. You didn't hold on to the good thing you had, a sound mind, unbridled anger. We talked about that last week. Some of this anger make you lose your mind, causes instability, is mental instability. Anger clouds your thoughts. I don't know, things happen in life that make you mad, but if that anger controls your mind, it's because you gave it that opportunity. And the sound mind is willingly given up this good thing. I let go of it. I let go of it because I chose to be angry. And I chose to harbor that. And I chose that hatred. I mean, these are some just a lot of examples of things that are good that God gives in life. And we as human beings are so good at taking a good thing and just willingly giving it up and forgetting it and abandoning this good thing for something something the devil's doing, the world's doing, other people are doing. These are just a few examples of this, and there's more. We could say Jesus Christ is a good thing. People abandon, Judas Iscariot abandons Jesus Christ for money. It's just, like I said, the list, you could make a bigger list than I've made here tonight. But when Paul says what he says, really the Lord says this, hold fast that which is good. What you see in, it seems like the trend and the way of, I say the culture, but the world, in our culture, for sure, It is a steady process of abandoning everything good that God has set in motion. And it's being dismantled. And so it's not that these good things aren't being held on to, they're being lost. And this, it shouldn't be lost in a Christian's life. It ought to be held on to. Companionship, gatherings, truth, Jesus Christ, sound mind. Well, these things, they're good things. And like I said, if you're not careful, I mean, the eventual purpose and the direction that the devil takes and the world takes, really the devil, the point is to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he'll eventually take every good thing away. if he can. He'll take every good thing away and leave you and I surrounded by nothing. That's the work. That's the work. So when Paul says this, it's a short instruction. But if I don't follow it, if I don't listen to this, and if I allow every good thing in my life to be taken away, the only thing that will be in my life is bad stuff. That's the only thing left. And what's probably worse than that is where some people are, surrounded by bad stuff and justifying why all these good things have been taken away. Well, I can't have this, and this went bad, and this was messed up, and that was messed up, and they messed that up for me, and I can't go to church, and I can't do that, and all that. Pretty soon, you got nothing left. There's nothing left. And all the, I mean, just imagine, the devil just sitting back laughing. He took everything away. Every good thing that was around got taken away now. And you've justified it. You've said, well, I can't do that because that. I can't have that because that. I can't have that because that. I can't have that because that. And I can't go there because that. I can't do this because that. And this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. That's a bad place. That's a bad place. So those few little examples, when Paul says what he says, hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Don't remove yourself from the good things that God's given. Don't remove yourself from the good things God's given. That truly is a work of the flesh, the world, the devil, to remove all of those good things, to steal, to kill, to destroy all of that and leave you as a, I don't know, a dying animal somewhere. That's the work. How do you avoid that? Well, hold on to the good things. Hold on to good things. Father, I pray it's been helpful. Simple little thought here about good things and hold fast that which is good. I pray we would. Pray you'd help us see the hardness that comes into our lives when good things become distasteful, or at least feel distasteful. It's not really the fault of the good thing. It's the fault of the enemy that creeps in and plants the weeds and all that kind of stuff. I pray that you'd help us with that. Help us not abandon these good things in life that you've given. Like you said, you've given us all the things freely to enjoy. And thank you for that. And I pray that you'd help us with this simple instruction tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Pray.